super selfish if, like, Lord, bring them back. And, like, please don't do that. And, like, they can't. They're not going to come back anyways. But, So even with that, right, the fact that she's in heaven, I know for so many of you it's the same concept, and it's still a hard day. And Mother's Day, like most other holidays, and this is where I'm going with this message today, it offers us a chance, of course. It's a chance to remember, but it also provides an opportunity to choose. We concluded our marathon study through the book of Romans last week. I have this word in my notes here. Phew! We did it. So I won't have you turn there. In fact, we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Exodus in just a few moments, and you're welcome to turn to Exodus, and I'll give you more of a specific citation in just a few moments. But so we're not in Romans, but this concept of days like today, again, providing opportunities to choose. Well, there's room for a mention from the book of Romans, and this is just fresh on my mind, obviously, because we just concluded it. Specifically, if you remember the last few weeks or so in chapters 15 and 16, we saw two lists of names. Like, here's all these just fairly random people to us, and some of the names are familiar ones. Timothy's there, Priscilla's there, she's there, Aquila's there, but so many of those names that we simply don't know, and even studying, you're comparing other parts of the Bible to try to realize who these people are. But when we're studying those people, I hopefully gave you the impression that in so many ways, practically, it does not matter if we know exactly who they are. If we have to know, well, we don't, so it doesn't really matter practically. They are no names to us. Right? We don't know who they are. But they're in the Bible. And so they, by virtue of the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to record those names and say the things that he says about those different people, they provide living examples for us. Well, I don't even know who they are. Doesn't matter, but they still provide examples for us. And it also kind of doesn't matter practically because the Lord knows them. And Paul the Apostle knew them. They were important people in his life. And I know I preached on some of this stuff in the last few months, but they were important to him, and we have important people in our lives that none of the rest of us, quite frankly, even know. And what's amazing about no names is that they are relatable to people like us. People like us, which is to say, other no names. We imagine ourselves so important, don't we? Well, we're the most important people in our little life, and branch out 10 feet and like, oh, people aren't thinking about me as much as I'm thinking about me. Like in Sunday morning prayer, if you'd like some prayer, come receive prayer. And I know that you're like me, and like, I can't go do that because everyone's going to be looking at me. What's really funny is they're not, because they're more consumed with themselves. And in fact, they might be thinking, you're thinking that they're thinking, what's wrong with that person? They need prayer. Probably what they're thinking is, wow, that's so brave of them to go get prayer. And we don't think about other people. We're surrounded by us. We're no names. And one no name in particular, if you remember from Romans chapter 15, and I didn't ask you to turn to Romans, but if you remember the name Rufus, we saw that he might have been the brother of Alexander, that particular Rufus from Mark chapter 15. And Rufus and Alexander, sons of Simon the Cyrenian, who helped Jesus carry his cross. Like they might have been the same Rufus, the son of that man. But maybe just another guy called Rufus, it doesn't matter. And again, it doesn't matter because the Lord knows it and Paul knew him. But if you remember this from Romans chapter 15, this is verse 13. Paul says, the mother of Rufus, he says, his mother and mine. And we're not really sure, again, which Rufus this is, so identifying her will be a tall task. Oh, and she's another no name in that her name isn't even provided for us. But it's one of those things like, you don't care. It's his mom. And at what age, and this might be a good Miss Jody question, like at what age do kids realize that mom actually has a name and her name is not mom? Like it's just mom. Okay, well, so she's the mother of Rufus, and if she's the mother of Rufus and Alexander from Mark 15, then it's a safe bet that she was likely Simon the Cyrenian's wife, but we don't even know that. And again, this is relevant. Why? Because the Lord knows her, And Paul knew her. And specifically there in that wonderful list of no names from Romans chapter 15, she served as a mom for Paul the Apostle. Just a no name. Are you kidding me? And just like what today is, this unnamed woman gives us a chance to remember and an opportunity to choose. And you're like, okay, Jeremy, you've repeated that now a couple of times, an opportunity to choose. So the question is, well, to choose what? Thank you for asking that. But to choose how to be. To choose how to live. To choose how to serve. This is not simply to choose how to be remembered. That's something at memorial services we often do. You know, you can choose how, you know, this person's gone, but you can choose how to be remembered. But it's not that. And if it were about living so that you'd be remembered, well, Rufus's mom didn't really do so well because we don't even know her name. But again, it's not really about that. And outside of the actually six of us in this room today that got to meet my mother-in-law, for you guys, it's like, okay, that's sad, and that was Christy's mom. She didn't live to be remembered. Rufus's mom, same. She made it, it's so funny, she made it into the Bible. Like, imagine that. There's some people that make it in the Bible like, man, I'm glad I didn't live at that time, because if they're going to tell my story inspired by the Holy Spirit, yikes. But she gets barely half a sentence. And it stands out, and it stood out by Paul that this woman served as a mother to me. Paul, writing to the church in Rome from the ancient city of Corinth, this of course was formerly Saul of, your Bible people, Tarsus. We never hear anything else really about Paul's parents other than a little blip in the book of Philippians that he was circumcised according to Jewish custom, right? So they were good Jewish people. Believers? Honestly, likely not. But there's Rufus's mom. And women like my wife's mom that determined to choose to live for other people. To be that person in their life when times are tough, when they need encouragement and support and prayer. And I hope you're all getting the point here that this is actually hardly a Mother's Day message at all. This sort of mindset really applies to every single one of us. We can all remember and we can all choose. We can all choose to live a life so as to be remembered. Again, honestly though, there's an element of selfishness to even that. Well, I just want to be remembered. I want to make a name for myself. Mm-mm. You choose to live a life for others, they'll remember you, but that's not the goal. And isn't that exactly the heart of every mom? Like, we honor moms specifically because their life is spent taking care of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. We have one living grandparent between us, Grandma Phyllis Hippolito, great-great-grandmother. Five generations. And you go and visit her, and there's pictures of the kids, kids' kids, and now the kids' kids' kids, and the kids' 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 kids? I don't know, just kids, right? And like, she loves it, and that's the heart of a mom. Now, it's a bit of a side note, and we haven't even yet arrived at Exodus, but there's actually a couple places in the Bible where God the Father is depicted as having motherly qualities. He's God the Father. He's always indicated in male form, if you will, in biblical terms. But there's a couple places where he has motherly qualities. One of the places in particular, one verse in particular, is Isaiah 66 and verse 13. And this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah the prophet. And the Lord says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem." Wait, the Lord? That's not a fatherly thing to... No, but doesn't need to be, because the Lord is everything we need Him to be. And if you need comfort, I mean, think about it. And the Lord would say it that way because He didn't say, as a father comforts his kids, because come on, like dads are like, you all right? All right, I don't know, don't do that again or something. Like a dad's comfort is, I don't know, knock it off. A dad's comfort is, try to be more, that's the best we can render. Like, try to be, oh, I'm sorry, try to be more careful. Or some dads, and maybe this is some of your, this is a kind of a fun Sunday morning, but some of your dads are probably, please stop bothering me. That stinks that that happened to you, but I don't have time. Talk to your mother. And that's what usually happens. Talk to your mother, talk to your mother. But Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, the Lord says, comfort you. And Paul the Apostle essentially mirrored that sentiment in his own ministry. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, speaking about him and his team that went to minister to those in Thessaloniki. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Like dads with like brand new little infants, like, I just don't want to break them. You know, like, you get them, they're born, and like the doctors are just shaking them, like, is that okay? They're fine. But like dads are like, I'm so scared. But moms just know how to cherish them. And this is what Paul said concerning his ministry to those people. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, no, God the Father is not a woman. No, Paul the Apostle was not any kind of confused. That's not anywhere where I'm going with any of this today. But there are characteristics in the service of others that can only be likened to the love and care and comfort that really only a woman can bring. And we're meant to be that for other people. Maybe a couple of just random quotes will help. Abraham Lincoln, you've heard of him. Some of you are like, I never have. Okay, well, study history. No one is poor who had a godly mother. Fred Cruz, from his poem, it's a longer poem, but just a couple lines from this poem. His poem is, what is a woman, or excuse me, what is a mother? A mother is a curious mixture of patience, kindness, understanding, discipline, purity, and love. A mother can sew the tiniest stitch in the material for that dainty prom dress, and she is equally experienced in threading through the heaviest traffic with a station wagon. A mother is as gentle as a lamb and as strong as a giant. Only a mother can appear so weak and helpless and yet be the same one who puts the fruit jar cover on so tightly that even dad can't get it off. And finally, the wisdom, the prayerful wisdom of a mom from a Mother's Day card. This is the great Charles Swindoll, and he remembers this card that he saw. Card said, or he says, I smile as I remembered the Mother's Day card that I saw that was really cute. It was written in a little child's writing, first grade printing. It read, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day. And on the inside of the card, Charles Swindoll remembers, the prayer is this, God help you if you ever do that again. nothing like a mom. And today we have a chance to remember, and we're given this opportunity to choose how to be. And this is where the excuses just start to overflow. Well, I'm not a mom, so this doesn't apply to me. Or I'm a dude, so none of this matters. Or my kids are older, or my kids were really little. Or my kids walked away from the Lord a long time ago, and so I have no business helping anyone else. Or have you seen my kids? My house is a disaster. My kids gripe and complain and make such a mess. And I hope you understand that if that's you describing your kids and your household, it means you have a normal functioning household. And the thing which typically interferes with our choosing how to be is what I just mentioned. Well, I'm not this, so, which is to say, so therefore, this doesn't apply to me. My situation is this, so none of this really matters. And those are what we call excuses, and those, of course, get in the way of our choices. So I ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 4, if you would. While you're turning there, in chapter 3, you know the story, the Lord called Moses, and he commissioned him for his task, and he provided the overview of all of it. It's a fascinating study in and of itself. When you get to chapter 4 and verse 1, after hearing all this directly from the Lord God himself, then Moses answered and said, but, and specifically, but suppose, and by the way, suppose is another way of saying, what if, right? Well, what if they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you. I mean, the chapter starts with doubts about what God had literally just told him in chapter 3. So this is what Moses says to the Lord there in verse 1. And so the Lord responds, verse 2. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he, Moses, said, it's a rod. And he said, well, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it, which makes sense. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And I hope you see this, and you probably heard this, or if you've ever studied through this with a Bible teacher or just looked at it on your own. The Lord responds to Moses with his doubt, with essentially this: Moses, I can use whatever is in your hand. Whatever is in your hand, whatever you have to offer me is sufficient. Yeah, but what if? What do you have in your hand? Well, a rod, I can use that. Furthermore, almost, and not only that, right, verse 6, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand into his bosom, then he took it out. Behold, it was leprous like snow. And he said, the Lord said to him, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter, of the second sign. The first chunk of the chapter, Moses, I can use whatever is in your hand. Right here, it's as if the Lord is saying to Moses, I don't even really need that. Not really. I don't even really need your hand itself. If it's leprous, it doesn't matter to the Lord. Well, what if they don't believe? Suppose they don't. It is not your job to control what happens in their heart or their mind, but you can choose to be there for them. And your job, again, really, this is the message today. This is the opportunity for us to be used of the Lord wherever you are in life, whoever you are, whatever is happening to you. As I said a few minutes ago, our excuses often get in the way of making those right choices. Notice the next verse, verse 9. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Here's a sign that's going to happen. I'm going to give you this miracle. And then verse 10, here's faithful Moses. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before you, or before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. If you've watched the great film or play Fiddler on the Roof, you would hear them say, for a man that was slow of speech and slow of tongue, he sure talked a lot, right? Classic. But slow of speech and slow of tongue, I'm not eloquent, which is a way of saying what? I don't talk so good. Lord, you're going to send me? I just don't know, Lord. I can't actually do that. I can't do this. So the Lord said to him, verse 11, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. Moses, it's not about you. It's not about your mouth and your ability. I designed it, Moses. I'm perfectly capable of setting this before you and having you go do this thing because I can enable you to do this thing. It's not about, and think about it this way, it's not about your inability. the Lord's ability to use you is not on the basis of your supposed inability. The Lord is not having this conversation with Moses saying, "Wow, thank you for mentioning that. I never thought of that. You do. You don't talk so good, Moses. Maybe I've got the wrong guy." That's not what happens. I designed the mouth. Verse 13. "But he said, 'Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send.'" Really, spend time in chapter 3 and you realize how much more powerful the punch is for all of this, for Moses saying, you've got the wrong guy. And you can read the rest of it on your own. The beginning of verse 14 helps. "So the anger of the Lord was kindled." That's fiery kind of terms, against Moses. Read the rest of it on your own. The Lord wasn't thrilled with Moses at this point in time. But the Lord sets before each and every single one of us various opportunities to be used of Him for His glory and His kingdom. So many chances to choose to seek Him and follow Him and serve the Lord and serve other people. "Yeah, but I'm just a mom with wild kids." Which is to say, "God, there's no way that you could possibly use someone like me. Lord, I know that you are God, but what have I to offer you? And I know that what I have to offer is just not enough for you to do anything with it. But I'm certainly not as gifted as someone else, so Lord, you should probably use them and just kind of get off this idea of using me for anything that you could imagine, Lord. You've got the wrong person." And when you take a step back to look at this, you realize how wrong, obviously, this all is. How filled with certainty this is. "Lord, you most certainly cannot use me. That's great that you'd like to do that, but actually what you're describing, comma, God, is impossible." The certainty, the irony of that is, "God, I just want to remind you of what you cannot do because my inabilities somehow are superior, somehow eclipse your abilities." Like, what's wild about this, that's Moses talk. That's doubt that takes the reins of your life and your decisions. That's unbelief calling the shots. Moses talk, before he could be remembered as the great leader of Israel, Moses was the great excuse provider. "Moses, I'm going to send you." "Yeah, no, you can't." And by verse 14, "the anger of the Lord's kindled." Moses, I beg to differ with you. Great excuse provider. So much so that his final plea to God here in this conversation with the Lord directly, his suggestion to God was that God was just going to have to use someone else. "God, if you want that done, you're going to have to find someone better than me." And you know what? Let's just say it. Maybe there is someone better than you. Oh, well, no. It's either like now you feel terrible or now you're like justified. See, I don't have to do it. But maybe there is someone better than you, but God didn't ask them to do what he asked you to do. You do what he set before you to do. What's crazy about this is this next statement I'm going to make. Skip the Moses talk. "Is Moses the great leader?" "Yeah, but he didn't start so great." Well, so that since he started that way, the Lord could never use me. Keep reading. The Jewish people often remember Moses as the greatest Jew of all. Some of them remember Moses as a greater Jew than even Abraham. The great Moses. Skip the excuses and just get after it. If you find yourself saying, "Yeah, that's nice, but I'm a nobody," well, remember women like Rufus's mom and choose to be used of God because he is capable. What's amazing is I'm saying, like, really, you choose these opportunities. You never know how your life might impact someone else's life. But you'll certainly never even get a chance if you decide, if you determine, if you're resolute that I am unable to be used. God Himself cannot use me, so therefore I will do nothing. Then you'll never know. We remember Moses for being great because he did great things, because he eventually believed the Lord and went and did those great things. We remember people like Paul and Priscilla and Aquila as great men and women of God. And Paul, he remembered Rufus's mom. Like, whatever she provided, and that's a big whatever, right? Like, what do moms provide? What do moms not provide? The Apostle Paul, I actually could use a mom figure in my life. Oh. And what's remarkable to me about this, like, it's, you know, just a general conversation about some of these things we remember and we choose, and we choose to be used of the Lord, and we choose to be that for somebody else. And I think it's probably not just a nice general conversation, but probably really specific, and not even just simply to Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks, though I think is pertinent for us, but like in Northwest Arkansas, our culture here, because the funny, not funny thing about our culture, everyone who lives here is not from here. No one's from here, so most of us have family in like multiple states. So guess what most of us need in our lives? Moms. And Grant, well, I'm not a mom. I'm not a woman, so none of this applies. Well, you're a dude, so you can be a brother. Well, I never had brothers growing up. So, okay, and now you have a bunch, right? I'm like, well, I can be a sister for that. Yes, you can. Well, I can be, yes, you can be a dad for that person. And for those of us that have, for our family, we've got family on both coasts. It's a two-day drive in either direction for us. And I look at all these years here for us and like, Lord, thank you for seeing fit to bring some great father figures into my life, into our lives. Some great, I put this on Facebook today even, like, bonus moms. Well, Paul the Apostle and whoever, like, they're in ministry, so they've got it together. Spoiler alert. We don't have it together. And like Paul the Apostle, yeah, a bonus mom is really helpful. And an extra dad, another brother. My brother's both in California. Hardly ever talk to them, hardly ever see them. Christy's brother, New Jersey. Like, brothers, sisters. Like, specifically for our culture here, Rufus's mom, his mother, and mine, says Paul the Apostle. Well, that's fine. I need other people to be that for me. And maybe the Lord wants you to be that for other people. And immediately what happens, though? Moses happens. Well, yeah, but I can't because I'm... Your inabilities are superior than the Lord's abilities? Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what are you saying? Send someone else, Lord. This kind of day, you actually get to choose. Can I be that for the benefit and blessing of someone else? What are we describing here? This is basic discipleship. What is Jesus' call for basic discipleship? Pick up your cross and follow me. A cross is not something bad that happens in life. We often say this, you know, someone has cancer. Well, that's their cross to bear. Do you understand that's incorrect? A cross is something that you choose to willingly bear for the benefit of someone else. It's death to you so that someone else can find blessing. That's not cancer. That's not difficulties in life. It's you saying, I will bear a price to me so that other people can be blessed. That's called grace. We talked about that last week. Being gracious and merciful and loving towards, well, so be a mom. Well, I'm not a mom, so like all of us need family. All of us, and again, Paul the Apostle saying that to his friends in Thessalonica, but we were gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. And the Lord Himself, once again, Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. There's so much loss in my life. You've got the Lord. So many difficult things. We have one another. And others have you. And what we are, we discovered this from, sorry, another mention to Romans. We discovered this in Romans chapter 12. We're the body. And each part is meant to function in a certain way for the benefit and blessing for the rest of the body. So church, I'm not kidding, please, for the sake of the church, be the church. Well, I can't do that. You can't do that because you're greater than the Lord? Well, I'm not saying that. And I can't do this because I make so many excuses. your excuse is that you have too many excuses? That's not a great excuse. Choose. Well, it's Mother's Day, so this doesn't apply. Fine, great. It doesn't apply to you because you're a dude. Whatever. But you can choose to be used of the Lord God for the blessing, the benefit of other people. You can be that church. Be the church. Like, none of this is complicated. That doesn't make it easy. That's because death to self is not easy. In our culture here in particular, perhaps like very few other places on the planet, this just odd melting pot in Northwest Arkansas of all places. This is where the Lord has placed you. There's other people just like you that has family nowhere near here, but here we are. And how rich we are with one another. So, men, happy Mother's Day. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Single people, happy Mother's Day. Well, I'm a single dude. Happy Mother's Day to you. Be that person. Be those people. Church, let's be that. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the honesty of your word. People like Moses. I mean, that's just some rich doubt and some thick giving of excuses. To finally have this man who just heard from, like, met you at the burning bush. And moments later, yeah, you're going to have to send someone else. Moses. That your word is honest with people. It's great that it's honest with people because we're just like that. If everyone was depicted in the scriptures as somehow just really close to perfect, then the rest of us would throw our hands in the air and say, well, I'll never meet that standard. But they were so wildly, passionately imperfect, determined in their doubt, certain in what you, God, cannot do. We're grateful also that you got through to them. Grateful that your anger could be kindled against Moses so it doesn't have to be kindled as much towards us. And thank you, as a gracious Heavenly Father would serve us as a loving mother, kind and gentle to us and comforting to us. And interesting, Holy Spirit, that's what you are, the comforter. You bring that for us. You provide that for us. And part of the way it seems you would provide comfort and blessing and mercy one to another is through one another. That's how you see fit to work. So would all of us on days like today, and specifically today, here in our culture, we need family. And there are probably non-believers in our lives that have no family out here that really need someone that would be comforting and giving and a blessing and hospitable and kind to them. That we would take other people under our wing. But they're a non-believer. Perfect. That we would model our Savior giving of Himself, going to that cruel cross on that hill called Calvary because you loved sinners and didn't want us to stay that way. What a good God you are. Again, so many blessings found in the gospel. So many blessings from your very heart towards us. Thank you, Lord. May we, the church, choose to be the church for the benefit of other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. So be like Moses. Skip the excuse-giving step altogether. Like, if you need to let out a deep sigh, look around and go, I don't know, like, Lord, I guess if you're asking me to do this thing, which He is, whatever that thing is, since He's asking you to do it, your prayer should probably be the one of belief that would say, God, since you are God, I know my inability, but since you're God, you're able to use even such as me. Well, then, Lord, would you please use me? I have a rod in my hand. You don't even need that. You don't even need my hands, Lord. You don't even need my mouth. But you use who I am. So, Lord, use me because you're capable, you're able. And, Lord, for the people in my life, like this, that we honestly assess ourselves. I already know that I'm filled with doubt. Just get past that. And He already knows that too. So just skip the excuse-providing step and let out a nice deep sigh if you need to do so. Lord, I don't know how this will work, but you are God and you've asked me to do this. So us, church, Us be the church. God bless you guys. Happy Mother's Day. See you later. Well, good morning. And happy Mother's Day to you moms. You're welcome. Thanks for being moms and grandmoms and all that kind of stuff. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for moms, for your perfect plan in creation, the perfection of your plan in basic biology, understanding what we as human beings need. So thank you for the various blessings that you bestow upon us. And what's amazing, and you know this, and we're reminded of this in theological terms, this is just general grace. Everyone on the planet as a mom, believer or otherwise, you've given that to each and every single one of us as a gift, as a blessing. So thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as we consider just some various topics today, thank you for the greatest gift of all, obviously, that salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, you knowing what we would need, knowing us in our sin, you went to that old rugged cross to take our place. You received upon yourself what we deserve so that we might receive what we don't deserve. Thank you for that. Thank you for what grace is and how it works. You get what is ours, and we get what is yours, and we get to share in your inheritance and glory with you, Jesus. What a great gospel this is. What a great God you are, bountiful in blessing, generous in grace, the multitudes of your mercy that just spring forth from your heart and who you are towards us. And you call us now your children, those of us that have called upon Jesus for salvation. We're part of your family. What a gift. So thank you, Lord, for our time. And with these just simple thoughts today, would you encourage us and challenge us and help us to walk with you. And Jesus, we ask all of it in your precious name. Amen. So really, happy Mother's Day. And you guys that have been at Calvary Chapel for any amount of time, you know that I'm not much of a Hallmark calendar guy. In fact, I had to like kind of go through my notes. And when's the last time I even taught a Mother's Day message, shared something? It was 2 years ago. And that was the only time I'd ever done that. So today, you know, we finished Romans. I will make a mention to part of Romans today, as you'd be, you know, not surprised to hear that, but this is a good time to really talk about this idea of Mother's Day and then broaden it a little bit. So it's going to be a pointed one in that it's directed towards Mother's Day, but, well, I'm not a mom. I'm looking, just scanning the room here. There's a bunch of us dudes, right? They're like, this doesn't apply to me, so I've got a mom and whatever. But I think there's application for all of us. And so it's a great day in so many ways. And I think this is obvious. And for a lot of my, you know, speaking ministry, I wouldn't give a Mother's Day message on most Mother's Day because I understand it's particularly difficult for a lot of people. We had some gals in the church, you know, years ago that couldn't have kids. And I know that it was a tough thing for them. And, you know, sometimes they just wouldn't come on Mother's Day. So it's a particularly tough day for a lot of people. And, you know, maybe you're the person, you're married, but you can't have children. You're single and you wish that you were married and you had children. I know there's moms and grandmas here that have prodigal sons and wayward daughters. And for so many of us, it's tough because maybe the loss of your mom. It's definitely a tough day for our family. I'll just say it. A lot of you guys know this. It's a hard day for us. Christy's mom went to be with the Lord 19 years ago. 51 years old when she passed. We were missionaries in Hungary. And we were attending a conference when we got the word that she had passed. I mean, to say that we were floored, like we were literally just on the floor and some friends of ours trying to comfort us. And it's especially hard. I hate to do this, but today's mom's birthday, and she would have been 70 years old today. But mom is with the Lord. And I'm so happy to tell you that, because the promise of God in Christ Jesus, there's no way in heaven, and there's no way on earth that she's complaining about any of it. Like, we get this, like, we spent 2 years, whatever, talking about Romans, talking about the gospel. You have to understand, there's no one in heaven going, man, I wish I was. There's no, you're not wishing for anything. Everything beyond your wildest dreams, imaginations, it's richer, it's greater than that. She's not in heaven going, this is great, but there's no buts. There's no howevers. There's no contrasting statements in heaven. I mean, I'm already off track, but it's kind of, even when we get to the new heavens, no earth, there's no need for the sun because the Lord is the light. And you've heard me talk about this kind of thing. Like, this is my opinion on the basis of the fact that there's not even a need for sun. There's no such thing as darkness. Like, there's shadows all over the place in this room. And what's a shadow? It's a place where light can't quite reach. In heaven, there's not even a shadow because darkness cannot be. So, mom, she's fine. And anytime I share at a memorial service, at a celebration of life, I try to remind people of that. We're supposed to mourn their loss. It is a loss for us. There's nothing selfish about mourning them. It's